Elov Ani Hashem. It seems spoke to Moshe, and he said to him, I am Hashem. Well, Erel Avram El Yitzchok Vel Yaakov Vekel Shakai. I appeared to Avram, Yitzchok and Yaakov in the name of Kel Shakai, the form of Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem Lo Neidati Lahem. And my name Hashem, I never appeared to them in that form. We see from over here that the names of Hashem are not merely a way of identifying him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in different forms. And he appeared to the Avos HaKadoshim in the form of Kel Shakai. And now he's going to appear in the form of Hashem. What's the difference between the form of Kel Shakai and the form of Hashem? Rashi says that Kel Shakai is the form in which Hashem appears when he comes to Torah as a promise. To the Avos HaKadoshim, he came in the form of a promise, but never B'Torah is fulfilling that promise. So that is Kel Shakai. The word Shakai is from the word Shaddai. It was enough to build a Yachas with the Avos based on a promise alone. But to the B'nai Yisrael right now, he's going to appear in the name of Yud-K Vav-K, and that is the fulfillment of the promise. The Ramban HaTorah says that he brings down the Ibn Ezra. That says a different shot in the chilu between Kel Shakai and the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. It says the word Kel Shakai is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he overcomes the lines of Teva, of Shamayim and Aretz, and he makes Nisim within the Teva. In other words, the Minhag HaOlam, the way of Teva, continues. Within the Teva, within the parameters of Teva, within the boundaries of Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does great things for them. He redeems them from death, he redeems them from war, he redeems them from the sword, he gives them riches, he gives them covet, and all the goods within Teva. And these are the brachas and the klalos of the Torah are speaking within Teva. And the Ramban stresses, he says, it's impossible for something good to happen to a person, to get schar or lehefa, to get ma'inish of the aveira, only if there's nisim b'teich ha-teva. If a person was left up to the regular boundaries of teva, the only thing that would happen to him would be what his tendencies are or what his mazel is, b'zehu. He would never go up and down. If a person's mazel is just so, his life would remain l'fi that mazel. If a person has certain tendencies, that is the way his life would go. There'd be no up or down. The nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that although Teva binds a person to a certain mahut, to a certain way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him up and down within Teva. The Shem HaZai is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates new nisim, far and beyond Teva. So that's the pshat to the other side of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared in the form of Teva. And the good things that happened to them were not outstanding nisim where he changed around all of the laws of nature. Everything happened within the laws of nature. Hashem came now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to perform things that are l'mayla min ha-teva, l'mayla from the laws of nature. As a matter of fact, the Ramban says that, in a way, it's a bigger nace for something good to happen within the teva than it is l'marshal. The Torah only speaks about the Schar V'Einish down here on earth. The Torah does not speak about the Schar V'Einish. Ramban says the Schar V'Einish is not a Chiddush. Because if our Neshama goes up, it's natural, it should bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents. It's down here that it's a Chiddush. Because the laws of nature, the laws of Teva, the laws of the Mazalos and our tendencies really keep us stuck in one certain position. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us to a higher Madrega down here, and he brings bracha to us down here, that goof is the big nace. So for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'eirav ha'ovis b'kel shakai. I appeared to the Ovis, again, Shaddai. It was enough within the laws of Teva. It wasn't limitless, it was within the laws of Teva. Die. Over now, it's going to be Shem Havai, where I create totally new breeds that were never found within the laws of Teva. Lochain, and Mar Bnei Yisrael ani Hashem. Tell the Bnei Yisrael that I am Hashem. Lo itzeis yeschem itachas. To Eloish Mitzrayim, Yisalti Eschem Yavoy Dozom, Yisalti Eschem, Lakashti Eschem Lilo'om, Yisalti Eschem Yavoy. The four Lashonis of Geula, by Davar Moshe Keno B'nai Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu spoke thus to the B'nai Yisrael, the Moshamu El Moshe, they did not listen to Moshe, Mikoytzer Ruach U'me'avoy D'kosha, from shortness of breath and from hard work. The Meshech Chachma wants to understand what caused them not to listen. What is this Koytzer Ruach and Avoy D'kosha? What caused them not to listen? Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are coming to tell them there's going to be a Yeshua over here. So other Abbas, they should have been willing to listen. Oh, Baruch Hashem, the harsh labor is coming to an end. What is it over here that they couldn't listen to? So Moshe Chachma says like this. Moshe Rabbeinu came and told them two things. Number one, they're going to be redeemed from their hard labor from the tribe. But number two, he said, they Hem El Ores, Ashen Shbati Lavisechem, my Rosh is to give them as a Yerusha, as a heritage. The Teva is of the Meshech Chachma, that when somebody is Tzibrach, when somebody is downtrodden, when somebody is short of breath in his mamish, he is broken by the Avoida. If you tell him that this Avoida is going to come to an end, halavai, that he's able to hear. But if you start talking to him about the future, about a totally different thing, and you're going to get a land of Eretz Yisrael, he can't even think about that. He is so arangitan now in his tzara of Avoida. He is so tshmetered by the hard work of right now, he can't think about the future. He can't even begin to contemplate going to a different land. So that's what the Torah is telling us over here. Einachinami, the essence part that Hashem is going to take them out of Mitzrayim, that they were not able to listen to. But saying, I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael, that was so far and beyond, they weren't able to hear that. So Taka later on, when after Moshe Rabbeinu complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it says later on, by Davar Hashem al Moshe al Aaron, by Tzavan al B'nai Yisrael al Parmach Mishraim, lo hoiti is B'nai Yisrael mi'eretz Mishraim. Here it's HaKadosh does not mention Eretz Yisrael anymore. Because the promise of the land of Eretz Yisrael, it was beyond their way of understanding it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka went back to just talking about Yitzhias Mishraim. Yaakov Galinsky said so. He once got up by his simcha, maybe a family simcha. He had his children, he had Enoch look, he had ear Enoch look, yeah, I think. He had how many married off Enoch look? With Choshevitami, they chacham and his aidens and grandchildren. And he got up by one simcha. And he said, he brought down the pasuk, Rochek Meshuasi, far away from my Yeshua, Divrei Sha'agosi are the words of my screaming. He ties to Vostav Shah. He says, when he was in Siberia, when they told me you're never going to get out of here, it was freezing, and it was starvation, and it was hard work, it was hard labor. What was he davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? He never was, not oil in his wildest dreams, he's ever going to get out of there. It was not oil in his wild dreams, he's going to live to an old age. It was not oil in his wildest dreams, he's going to have get married with a family, with children, with grandchildren, with kailim, with yeshivas. It was far and beyond what he could imagine. He davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should be zeichet to a kever Yisrael. He says, now I come to a simcha, Baruch Hashem, Hashem was mezakami. I got married, I have children, I have grandchildren, I have eidim, talmidei chachamim, I built kailim, I built yeshivas. Rochav me yeshuasi. How far from my Yeshua is what I scream for L'chitchila. I scream for L'chitchila Kevri Yisrael, and look how far away my hopes and my screams were from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually did. That's really what happened to the B'nai Yisrael over here. They couldn't even begin to think about going to Eretz Yisrael. They just wanted to get out of this Avodah. Maybe that they were able to hear. But to hear about going to Eretz Yisrael, that they weren't able to start even thinking. And Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. He commanded them to the B'nai Yisrael. They'll parry Melech Mitzrayim. L'chitzias B'nai Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So there are three things over here. Bnei Yisrael, Velpari Melech Mitzrayim. Both of these were for the purpose of Lahaiti as Bnei Yisrael, Meiris Mitzrayim. So Chasam Sofer explains Meiridik. What is this Vayitam of Bnei Yisrael? What is this Velpari Melech Mitzrayim? Rashi says to be Sovel of Bnei Yisrael, and Rashi says Velpari Melech Mitzrayim to give him cover. So Chasam Sofer says, why were both of these things necessary for Lahaiti as Bnei Yisrael, Meiris Mitzrayim? Dr. Chasam Sofer. That it was necessary to give power in Klavos, though power in Melech Mitzrayim, is Mavar of the Gemara and Megillah that says well on the day. The Gemara over there asks a question. What did Esther see that she invited Haman to a Mishnah? What was the purpose of that? So there's numerous mandarim over there. One teretz in the Gemara is Lifnei Shever Goyim. Before a person gets his Durchfal, before he gets person gets his Mapola, he's raised up to a massive of guidance. So that's why she was machmir herself in front of Haman, to give him all the covet in the world. Oh, he gets all the covet. Who else did the Malka invite but me and the Melech HaKashdei, where she managed, was at the top of the world. He got all of his oilah of covet at that moment, and now he was ready to be broken. The covet was Arangachav, and now he has nothing left just to be broken. That's fact number one. Fact number two, it's also your dua that a Navi or a leader of Klal Yisrael is chas v'shalom not allowed to be ma'ayur midas adin against his people. He always has to speak good about his people, about the Bnei Yisrael. He always has to be ma'ayur mitzvah. When he speaks to them, he can give them tenkocha. But when he's speaking to us with his baruch, he has to only speak good, and as a rabbi, he has to find excuses for them in front of Hashem. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. You want to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, you have to do two things. By Yitzhavim of Bnei Yisrael, you have to be soluble with Bnei Yisrael. Yes, they're not perfect, but you have to be soluble with them, and you always have to stick up for them, and you always have to be Melam Mitzchus on them. That's number one. Number two, you have to give covet to Paray. Give him covet, let him chaperayin all his covet right now. He'll feel at the top of the world, Lefnei Shever Goyim, and then he's going to chaper chapol. So these are two ingredients. Lahaiti of Bnei Yisrael in the Eretz Mitzrayim to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The pasuk goes on to say, "Who Aharonu Moshe? This is Aharon and Moshe. Asher Omer Hashem Lahem, who she was Bnei Yisrael in the Eretz Mitzrayim. Hey, Mamidavrim al Pari Melech Mitzrayim. They were the ones that spoke to Pari Melech Mitzrayim. Lahaiti of Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Who Moshe Aharon?" So Rashi says over here that sometimes the Torah mentions Aaron before Moshe, and sometimes it mentions Moshe before Aaron. Loi melukor sheshkulin ke'echad. Say they were both equal. Sefer Chazon Yishayahu brings down another pshat. Why first it mentioned Aaron before Moshe, and why afterwards it mentioned Moshe before Aaron? He brings it down b'shem Hagoyin Hatzadik Hakodesh with Yehuda Asad. Take the Tzadik Hakodesh. He says a different shot. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the house of Paran, and he was used to speaking to ministers and all of the chassidic people that were in the palace. He himself was like a minister. So Mimela, when it came to speaking to all of these people in the hierarchy of Mitzrayim, he was really the preferable person to speak. The Idach Gisa, when it came to speaking to the Bnei Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael preferred to speak to Aaron. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu, he looked more like a Mitzri official. You know, he was with the high honchos, and they felt that he couldn't, as he grew up with Beis HaMalchus, they felt that he couldn't really identify with the lowly Avodah, and they didn't really feel comfortable with him. So it comes out that Aaron had a milah over Moshe, and Moshe had a milah over Aaron. When it came to speaking to the Bnei Yisrael felt more comfortable with Aaron, and the middle they would accept the words of Aaron more than Moshe. The Yiddish Gisa, when it came to speaking to Paray, going to the Malchus, and deal with the people around Paray, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was used to the Beis HaMalchus, the middle it was preferable that he went to speak. If you look at the pasuk, that's what it says. Who Aaron or Moshe? Asher Omer Hashem Lahem, Hoitziu Es Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. In speaking directly to the Yidden, that they're going out of Mitzrayim, over there Aaron came before Moshe. because the Bnei Yisrael felt more comfortable with Aaron than they did with Moshe. They felt that Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps does not understand them. But when it came to Haman, Medavrim, El Parim, El Mitzrayim, when it came to speaking to Parim, El Mitzrayim, to take the Bnei Yisrael out, then who Moshe and Aaron? Then Moshe came before Aaron. Because Moshe was the preferred speaker because he knew the ways of the Malchus and he was able to deal with them accordingly. This is Abshat from Rabbi Yehuda Asad. The Torah goes on to say, V'hoyo l'kinin v'holeres Mitzrayim. Hachas atar ha'aret. Hit the offer and it'll be kinin, it'll be light throughout the land of Mitzrayim. The Sefer Likutei Rizvah says, why did Kinim come right after Damin Tzvardeya? There's a beautiful shot. We find in the Gemara Masechtos Gittin, the Sugya of Churban, Yerushalayim, the Sugya of Kamsin, Bar Kamsin. So it says that after Titus HaRosh had burned the Beis HaMikdash, he brought the Kaelim of the Beis HaMikdash, he brought it in a ship to Rome. And on the way, there was a tremendous storm that arose. And he started scoffing at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, oh, it looks like the God of the Jews only has one power. He has a power when it comes to water. You go to Mabel, like Fias Yamsuf, but he doesn't have power over the land. If he's really that strong, let me see him fight me on land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh, really? Bury a power, Yeshli Ba'ilami. And a bury a power. At the tiniest, tiniest of gnats. It's called the bury a power, because it's able to take in food, but it doesn't have an excretory system. That's how simple it is. Very powerful, by luck. Let's see you go fight against it. Sure enough, when he came to dry land, the snap entered his nose, his nostril, and went up into his brain, and it pecked away at his brain for years. And then when he died, and he opened up his head, they found a creature there as big as a pigeon. That was the Beria Kala. Zotu Lakute Rizvah, that Pari probably also thought like that. After the Mach of Dan, and after the Mach of Tridea, Dan came out of the water. Tridea was with the water. They both came in Amayim. So he's thinking to himself, it looks like the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only with water. Same exact way as Titus. But on dry land, he has no power. After he thought that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the same answer that he gave teachers. He said, very accommodationally by love, Akina, tiny little lights. Let's take a look how you're going to fare against the lights. And that's not why he brought the Kinem right after the dominance right there. When it comes to Orei, the Torah tells us, Umolu bote Mitzrayim eso Orei. And the houses of Mitzrayim will become filled with the Orei. The Gamo Adoma Shehem Oweo, and it'll also be filled with the land that they are on. Which pastors is mashma. That not only is that Kodesh Baruch is going to bring the Arai, but he's also going to bring the land that they are on. You have to understand the point of the Arai. He's bringing, but why do you have to bring the land that they are on? So there are numerous, very beautiful pshatim over here. The Chanukah Satayr and the Gro both say that in the Mishnah Meseftis Kalayim, we see that there's a certain Chaya whose name is Adnei HaSod, which is also known as the Yidoni, which is mentioned in the Torah. This Adnei HaSod is a very strange creature. It's like a plant, animal, human. It has an umbilical cord that attaches it to the ground. And that's where it gets its nourishment from. And it anything that comes within in its way, within its vicinity, it totally devours it. It rips it up into shreds. Now, if you want to be able to kill this creature, you have to aim an arrow at its umbilical cord at a certain spot. And when you hit it, it disattaches it, and then it shrivels up. It loses its nourishment, and then it dies. God of the Gross says that by aces, it says that he ace of Ishidei Atzai, Ish Sod, it's a double loss. Ishidei Atzai, the man that knew how to hunt. He was a man of the field. So the Grog Taitis, Asa was one of the few people that knew how to hunt down this plant animal and kill it. That's not the buzzing. By he ate the fish, he did it. He was able to hunt down the man that grew out of the field. A kitzer, but getting back to over here, a Yaisa Kaddish Baruch wanted to bring the Ori, and that included will be able to survive. Goes up the Grah with the Chanukah Hatayrit. The Nachos Yankin says a beautiful shot. He says, the Teva of a Chayit is to be vicious and to rip things apart, but that's only if it's in its natural habitat. It's a natural environment that feels comfortable where it is. So then it growls and it's, you know, angry and it's comfortable doing vicious things. But if you bring it to a place where it's uncomfortable, take the zoo. You bring your kid, the family to the zoo. You want to see a vicious lion. This is lying there, mommy's sleeping. You don't see anything. You want to see a roar? Please give me a roar. I'm not going to give you a roar. It's busy sleeping. It's not in its regular environment. The Mela, it doesn't feel its regular viciousness. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have brought the Oryx to Mitzrayim, and they wouldn't be in their natural environment, they wouldn't be as vicious. The Mela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm bringing the Oryx, and I'm also bringing the natural environment that they usually live on. The Mela, they're going to feel comfortable and they're going to be vicious. If you used to show Nachnasen, they say for Divrei Shaul, he says a different shot. When he says in the Torah, Umolu Vatei Mitzrayim as Ha'orei, V'gamo Adama Sheheim Oleha, it doesn't mean he's going to bring the land that the Orei is on. No. Umolu Vatei Mitzrayim as Ha'orei, the houses of Mitzrayim will be filled with the Orei, and also the land that the Mitzrayim are on will become filled with the Orei. What's the shot? A Mitzri might think to himself, hey, the animals are coming to my house, you know what I'll do? I'll run away to a different land or a different part of the tribe. It's not going to follow me over there. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Umogu Patei Mitzrayim, but don't think that you're going to run away to a different place or even to Goshen you're going to run away to. Are you going to be able to escape the animals? Nay, the Gamo Adam HaShehem Oleh, whichever land you go to in all parts of Mitzrayim, the Oregon is going to follow you. And Eva comes at very good afterwards that the Torah says, the Samtiv Duz, I'm going to make a separation between my nation and your nation. Because even if the Arab is going to be in Gaisa, where the Yidden are, it's going to affect the Mitzrayim, it's not going to affect the Yidden B'chla. Those are the different Shol, the Yisrael Shol Nath. Of Boros. HaKadosh Baruch gives an eight of Atah. Shlacha Ezes Miknecha. Gather together your Miknah. There's Kol Hashel. Vach Masada. Kol Odom Abaheim Hashel. Yimotzei Masada. Kol Yosef Abaisa. Any animal that's found in the field will not be taken into the house. The Yehud Aleim HaBoros Vamesu. Arachayim HaKadosh asks, what's that? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them an Eitzah before the Makkah. If you don't bring your thing into the house, they're going to get killed. Why is he giving them Eitzah? Entered the Arachayim HaKadosh, that the Tachlis of the Makkah is not just to inflict damage on the Goyim. The Tachlis of the Makkah was to teach a lesson. The Tachlis of the Makkah was, you have to be Machmir yourself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were. He told them, if you're going to gather together your animals, that shows you're believing in the Makkah, right? You're showing you're believing in the Makkah, and you're being Machmir yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really the Tachlis. And then the Makkah will make some Reishim on the ground without killing the animal. But if you're not going to be Machmir yourself, then it's going to cause the ultimate damage. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tachlis is not to take time to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach lessons. That's the way the Arachayim HaKadosh was, the way I understood it. Rabbeinu Avram ben Harambam says that it looks from Chazal that the reason why he gave the Eitzah was not for the benefit of the Mitzrayim. It might have looked that way, but it was for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. What's that? Because he told the Mitzrayim, if you save your animals and you gather them into the house, you're going to have them left over. The purpose was to leave over these animals for the future so that they'll have what to ride on to chase after the yin, right? And then afterwards, what's going to happen? First of all, the Bechor Behemoth, we were the Bechor Behemoth. There were animals left over that the Bechoris of the Behemoth should die by Makkah's Bechoris. And also, there were animals left over to chase after the yin, but for what purpose? To sink them into the Yamsa. And later on, the Taka says, Vayikach Sheshmei Yisrecha Bechor. left over later on. But it wasn't for the purpose of them saving their animals. It was for the purpose later on. There should be left over for Makas B'chayrus. There should also be left over to chase after the evil, and then afterwards they're going to get destroyed. So from here you learn a tremendous lesson. There are times that you see that the Rishon are Matzliach in their Maisa. And sometimes you see they even get help in Hashemayim in their ways. And we wonder, why is it so good for them? But the Emes is, it's not a Tmiya. It looks like the moment that Hashem is helping them out. But with the Emes is, the end tachlis will be, it's for their downfall. That's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. Al tiskar b'mereyim. Don't compete with the evildoers, with the Rishoyim. Al tikana b'isa avla. Don't be makana, don't be envious of those that do injustice. Ki kechotzer meheri imol. Like grass, they're swiftly going to be cut down. Uchiyerek desha yivob. And like the green vegetation, they will wither. Sometimes we see that the Rishon have it good, but the emes is, it's all for the tachlis to bring them down at the end. And that's what happened over here. Here Rabbeinu Avraham ben Aramba. The tachlis over here was to bring them down at the end. So right now, he saved their mikveh, but the end result was it got them into trouble. Good Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos, yes,
good Shabbos.